Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here to start off hour number 3 of a Monday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. It's our third and final hour on this first day of a new week. The NBA playoff picture, or maybe better said, the postseason picture is now set. Play-in tournament games start tomorrow night in the Western Conference. On Wednesday evening out east, where everything stands entering the postseason, we remind you later on in this third hour. We'll get the prop perspective from Tom Vecchio very early on, and we'll take a look on the ice and around Major League Baseball. But we start this third and final hour, DRS, with the MVP conversation around the NBA. The odds makers say one thing, the public something vastly different. We'll break it all down here to start off this third hour.
Yeah, good time all the way through. And by the way, keep an eye out on this. The Boston Marathon is today, which is Patriots Day in Boston, which means an 11 a.m. Major League Baseball game today. So we got action starting off right away, and we got baseball coming up in this third and final hour. But we are focused on the NBA and a nice little argument here. And shout out to voters, Ben, who we asked so many times, get involved with us with NBA topics, and they're doing that in spades today.
Big time. Our own social media account is firing back at Donnie Wrightside. We asked the public who should win the NBA MVP award. And we'll show you where the odds were entering the final day of the regular season in the NBA in just a moment. But the public says odds makers be damned. We know ball. You do not.
Yeah.
Welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience to begin this third and final hour. Get to the public vote in the feed the public results. Sirius XM channel 159, all of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. He is Donnie, I am Ben. Who should win the NBA MVP? Not Nikola Jokic, who was the odds-on favorite for a good majority of this year, certainly in the second half after Joel Embiid would not hit the 65-game minimum. Luka Doncic is winning the public vote at more than 33%. Nikola Jokic barely in front of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and a lot of the public, including our own social media account, is saying it's Jalen Brunson come hell or high water.
I love this, too. And by the way, the public not being shy about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with 24.7% of the vote. I love to see that because theoretically, honestly, and I love the fact that he's getting some shine here because just a few short years ago, dude was dropping 30 every game, but the Oklahoma City did not want him to play at all during those runs because they were trying to tank. So the fact that Luka Doncic had about 33, let's just call it 34%, and Nikola Jokic and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander almost in a dead heat here, that's tremendous, man. That is a lot of respect. And Ben, I can't say it enough, where we kept saying all season long, boy, this race would be really interesting if some of those extracurriculars that I talk about happen, which means SGA is a great basketball player, but he actually needs Oklahoma City to win the Western Conference, let's say to win the number one seed in the Western Conference, and he did that. So good on the public here showing up in support of SGA because he's been a wonderful player on the best team in the Western Conference. Could it be? I love the fact that this poll is coming in with so close to the top, but my initial point and premise here, Stop it with Nikola Jokic. Like, as much as I love Joel Embiid and you want to go toe-to-toe with Jokic and it's a rivalry in the MVP race, which, again, Embiid isn't a part of this year due to injury and minimum games played. But the fact that Jokic, he was securing this title, Ben, by dropping like 40, 22, and 16s here. Let's not forget that. Jokic is amazing. I'm just surprised that Doncic is getting the lead majority of the votes here. Based on what he's done lately, he's been amazing. Yep. But come on now. Nikola's the guy.
And listen, Jalen Brunson has been great down this home stretch. Knicks won 5 straight to claim that number 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. Brunson has scored at least 30 in 7 straight games, 43 times, including in that finale yesterday of the regular season, the overtime win inside MSG against Chicago. And although our guy, JY, did say that Jalen Brunson should win the NBA MVP, and that's what the Sports Grid account is sharing out for everybody that agrees, and the system might be broken, says Sports Grid, although Donnie Wright's side would argue Brunson did not even have a price listed entering the regular season finale. Now, do I hear you in voter fatigue that Nikola Jokic is doing what we expect and he's going to win his 3rd NBA MVP award in the last 4 years? I get it. But look at the odds yesterday. Look at the odds yesterday. Entering the final day of the NBA regular season, it wasn't minus 125 and we could open this debate. It was minus 7,000. Now, MVP awards, most outstanding players, so on and so forth. Individual awards are voted on by media members. It is not a quantifiable metric that is decided by a point outcome in a game. So anything could technically happen, but they're not laying minus 7,000 on Nikola Jokic for no reason. And, oh, by the way, the NBA straw poll, 92 out of 100 votes for Nikola Jokic to win the Most Valuable Player Award as well. Now, you compare his numbers this year to his 2 previous NBA MVP winning seasons, and they're as good, if not better. 26.4 points per game, 12.4 rebounds, 9 dimes on average, a triple-double machine, shooting 58.3% from the floor and played in 79 of 82 games for the reigning NBA champs. Nikola Jokic is very deserving, despite the voter fatigue idea certainly being a part of the conversation.
Also, if we tweaked the conversation here, we changed who should win the MVP wager, who should win the MVP, 33.5% here coming in on Luka Doncic currently now. If you change that question to, if you had to put your entire bankroll on one player to win MVP, what would that actually say based on those odds that Ben was just reporting here, as we saw from the FanDuel Sportsbook at a minus 7,000 price? It would be Jokic in a runaway, but also this is where some of those influences that we have. And yes, the straw polls are big. It happened just a couple years ago when the straw poll came out, I believe. Yeah. It was Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic, where Jokic was the leader. And Embiid, who was the favorite on like a Sunday night by Monday morning, was like a plus 250 to win the award, because the straw vote's like, the people plugged in know who the MVP actually is. All 3 guys listed up top certainly worthy opponents against each other. But Nikola Jokic, we can't just say, well, I don't care what he did in November, December, January, February, March, and April. I just love what Luka was doing late in the season. Luka is going to win an MVP in the NBA, but right now it's just Jokic's time with the Nuggets.
Listen, Luka has been incredible this year. Multiple different times, 35-plus point triple-doubles, and did so on a span where he had 7 straight 30-point triple-doubles at some point, at least 6 in a row throughout this NBA regular season. Scored 72 early on in this year as well. Nikola Jokic is winning the award. I do want to make this point. We'll have some more NBA conversations later on. But when you look at the Eastern Conference playoff bracket, Boston is the 1 seed. They'll get the winner of the 4-5 matchup between Cleveland and Orlando. Whoever wins, congrats. You're not beating Boston in a best of 7 when the Celtics have home floor advantage. But on the other side, the Bucks plus 550, the 76ers at 10-1. A lot of value elsewhere in the Eastern Conference. WNBA draft night up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We cover all the bases here on the Sports Grid Network, particularly with the early line. And yes, Major League Baseball will be a part of hour number 3, but a monster night tonight in the WNBA as we take a look at the draft. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Ben Stevens here. And when we're talking about, like, hey, have you heard of this player before? Everybody has heard of Caitlin Clark tonight. So from a draft perspective, Ben, we're expecting some pretty good ratings tonight, not because of who's going to go number one, but possibly you just want to get a glimpse and be in the part of who is actually number one tonight.
Listen, a historic NCAA tournament for women's college basketball, where many of the stars at that level hear their name called tonight in Brooklyn for the 2024 WNBA draft, where the excitement from college should continue over the summer into the W. The Indiana Fever are on the clock, but we've known who Indiana is going to take since Caitlin Clark declared for the WNBA draft way back in February. She is going first overall tonight to the Fever. DRS, in the last couple of drafts that we have seen a generational talent be favored to go first overall. Victor Wembanyama, last summer, first overall to San Antonio, minus 20,000. Connor Bedard, the generational talent to go first overall to the Chicago Blackhawks, also minus 20,000. Take Caleb Williams. In just about a week and a half in Detroit, he will go first overall to the Chicago Bears, minus 10,000. That is the price to be the first overall selection. Caitlin Clark doesn't even have a number listed. We have odds out for her WNBA success in her opening and rookie campaign, but there is not even a price for Clark to go first overall to the Fever. Some have joked, wouldn't it be hilarious if the Fever did not take Clark at first overall? Not only is she the biggest superstar in women's sports, maybe in basketball at this current point, she is the most talented player and the best prospect in this draft, and I don't think it's particularly close. Not to say there isn't talent behind her, and we'll discuss those prices throughout the rest of the opening round tonight. Brooklyn, Caitlin Clark is the first overall pick, and the Indiana Fever, who drafted Aaliyah Boston first overall last year out of South Carolina, now have the foundational pieces for the Fever to be a dynasty in the NBA. Imagine the pick and roll offense for Indiana this summer. Caitlin Clark at the point, feeding it to Aaliyah Boston, so on and so forth. And Fever fans are hopefully thinking that is going to be the case for many a year to come in the WNBA.
And shout out to WNBA and whoever the television affiliates will be tonight, because they decided that, hey, you know what? Why don't we just send this draft out at 10 o'clock tonight, because that's probably the optimum time for the entire country to watch? No, it starts at 7 o'clock. They will draft at 7:30. So somewhere at 7:35, Caitlin Clark will be drafted, and we can all watch and enjoy it and see exactly what is going to take place. Now, that draft order that we popped up here, Fever number one overall, we know who that's going to be. The Sparks actually have two picks in the top five, going at number two and number four, followed by the Wings, Mystics, Lynch, and the Sky. The Sky also here go third and also eighth. Now, we listed up here the players by position of where, draft position, where we think they're going to go. Caitlin Clark, obviously, monster favorite here, number two, Brink at minus 9,000. Cardozo, Jackson, Shelton, and Edwards. Now, the key question is going to be also on top of that is, I don't really know if it's, you know, not watching a lot of WNBA drafts. Will there be trades in the process? Could things shift and move around? But it looks like we have a pretty good idea who one and two are going to be. So let's focus on where Caitlin Clark is actually going to the Indiana Fever. Because the one thing we know is, look, they didn't make a deal last year based on what, like, the Chicago Bears did. So you're a bad basketball team with some good starting pieces. That foundation that you're going to draft with Caitlin Clark now and Aaliyah Boston, where does that leave them this year, Ben? Team win total 21.5, playoffs to make it, minus 215, and also Clark the MVP at 15-1. Let's talk about what it means for the Fever here.
So, last year in the WNBA, only 12 teams in this league, so just know that. Eight of the 12 teams make the playoffs. The top four all were above 500 in a 40-game regular season over the summer months in the WNBA. The bottom four all had losing records and still made the postseason, starting with the Dream at 19-21. In fact, the Dream, the Minnesota Lynx, and the Washington Mystics all finished 19-21 and made the playoffs. The Sky were the eighth and final team into the postseason at 18-22. It has been the super team era in the WNBA now for a season. That battle between the Las Vegas Aces and the New York Liberty. We got the series that was promised for a WNBA title on the line. The Aces went back-to-back, led, of course, by Asia Wilson, who won the WNBA MVP award. Or was it Breanna Stewart last year? Asia won it 2 years ago. I think Stewie won it a season ago. But the Aces, the first repeating champion in the WNBA DRS since the early 2000s, when back in the day, I believe it was the LA Sparks, to pull off that feat. So when you see 21.5 for the Fever, who finished 13-27 a year ago, if they get to 20 wins based on the sample size of a season ago, they would certainly be in playoff consideration, minus 215 for Indiana. But let's go through the rest of that top eight. Cameron Brink, the defensive player of the year in college hoops, minus 9,000 to go second overall to the LA Sparks, deserving of that. A sensational college career, one of the best bigs in the sport, a part of the team for the Cardinal that won the NCAA tournament back in 2021. So Cameron Brink, more than likely at minus 9,000, will be that second overall pick to the LA Sparks. What is interesting, with the Sparks drafting fourth as well, would they take another big in Camila Cardoso, of course, a part of the South Carolina Gamecocks, who won a national championship this year, knocking off Clark's Iowa Hawkeyes, or would they go to Rekia Jackson, a front court player, but just more versatile in what she can do? So the Sparks DRS with two draft picks in the first four selections and at 28th overall, three rounds, by the way, in a WNBA draft, can make a big spark, pun intended, to their franchise tonight. And they have some pieces in place. Kia Nurse, Zaya Cook out of South Carolina at the guard positions that, with a couple of front court stars like Cameron Brink and Rekia Jackson expected to pay off immediate dividends in the rookie campaigns, maybe it's a brighter future for LA this WNBA season.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch it play out, because it looks like you're in that rebuild mode here for the Sparks, as they have draft picks here in round number one, 2, 4, and 28 overall. But I don't know, is 28's not a first round pick? Is that a second round pick, I would assume? I don't think they go that deep in
third round pick there.
So third round draft picks today. And again, you're adding right into it. Now, also, you brought up a pretty good point. If you're going to sort of restrict, because typically it's a guard league anywhere you go, right? But back in the day, the San Antonio Spurs were like, hey, you know what? We'll go David Robinson, number one overall. And then a couple years later, we're going to get Tim Duncan here as that monster 1-2 punch. Maybe something that the Sparks would be taking a look at if you go with Brink and also Cardoza here. Now, let's just remove out of the equation, Ben. Let's take Brink out here. The remaining people that are ending up to be drafted tonight in that first round, is there going to be a surprise tonight in the WNBA draft? Is there a player that maybe would be moving up the ranks, or is it just so simple to go right in order?
So here's something that I think could be surprising to those fans of college basketball now in the WNBA. Mm-hmm. Angel Reese did declare out of LSU, but she's probably not going to go in the top six. Those are the only odds available on the WNBA. Maybe it's seven. That's where she's been slotted and mocked to the Chicago Sky, who also have two picks in the top eight. But I would expect Angel Reese not to be in the top half of this opening round. There is that battle, DRS, between Rekia Jackson out of Tennessee, who was sensational this past season for the Volunteers, and spent 5 years in college basketball, 20 points per game, 8 boards for Tennessee in 2023-24, had 30-plus in the round of 32, albeit in a losing effort against NC State. But just where LA drafts at second and fourth, I would expect Rekia Jackson to go fourth overall and Camila Cardoso out of South Carolina to go third overall to Chicago. Would you go two bigs for the Sky with Cardoso and Angel Reese? Maybe to be expected in the WNBA draft. A lot to figure out tonight in Brooklyn. Should be a historic night for the W. From perspective on this Monday with Tom Vecchio, up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The perspective on this Monday, we'll look at the slate in Major League baseball. Some action on the ice in the final 4 days of the regular season in the National Hockey League. And now with the NBA postseason set, we get Tom Vecchio's thoughts on it here as the jack of all trades steps up and in on a Monday on the Early Line. Vecchio, hope you had a great weekend. Thank you for joining us here on this Monday on Sports Grid.
Thanks for having me. It is an awesome time to be a sports fan. Outside of October or November, this is one of the best times of the year. Playoffs starting for both the NBA and the NHL. Baseball is in full swing. Lots to get to today.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the jack of all trades, this is the time for him. NBA postseason action, soon to be in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and, of course, the early goings of a Major League Baseball campaign. So, Vecchio, we have two playoff series, of course, set in the Western Conference, and I find both of the outright prices rather intriguing because lower-seeded teams who don't have home floor advantage are the outright favorites. In the 4-5 matchup, it's the Dallas Mavericks, the 5-seed, minus 120 to win the opening round outright over the LA Clippers. Same story in the 3-6 playoff series between Minnesota and Phoenix. The Suns, the 6-seed, but a minus 120 outright favorite. What do you make of the two series that we have set in the Western Conference?
Not too surprised about what we're seeing. I think a lot of people are banking on the Suns and their overall experience when it comes to the playoffs. Obviously, they have an NBA champion with Durant. Booker has been there before. And then we're looking at the Timberwolves and we're saying, okay, Karl Anthony Towns is back, but like, how fully healthy is he? Is he ready to play 38, 40 minutes every single night? That's the question, combined with just their lack of inexperience overall. So I'm on board with the Suns. I've said it time and time again over the last couple of months. I think that they're in a great spot. I know the 6 seed, I think they can certainly win this first round. And I got to say, going into Denver, potentially in the second round, they played well against Denver at Denver this season, coming away with a couple wins. So I'm still optimistic about the Suns. And then when it comes to the Mavs, I think they can win that. And I think, honestly, the Mavs at a Western Conference price at plus 800 is something I have a ton of interest in.
Yeah, we take a look at the Western Conference odds here now that we have the playoff seedings in order. You take a look at the Denver Nuggets, and based on the FanDuel Sportsbook, they don't care that they're not the number one overall seed. A plus 135 price to come out of the West, followed by two teams at 6-1, the Thunder and the Clippers, then the Mavericks and the Suns and the Timberwolves, almost in a dead heat at 8-1 and plus 850, respectively, here. Is it just Denver and everybody else out there, Tom?
I think so, but like I said, I think the Mavs are going to be my pick because if they can get past the Clippers, which I think is very viable, they won't have to play Denver until the conference finals because they're on the opposite side of the bracket. And again, when it comes to the Thunder, a young, inexperienced team, are we going to take the Mavs or are we going to take the Thunder ahead of the Mavs? I would certainly sign with the Mavs in that matchup. So if I want to play the long game, I would certainly go with the Mavs. And listen, if you want the Clippers to beat the Mavs, I would say the same thing about them. Take the Clippers at plus 600 to win the West because they won't have to play Denver until the conference finals. I will take the Clippers or the Mavs ahead of the Thunder in that second round.
Yeah, it's a really interesting portion of the bracket. Do you want to be on the side with the Denver Nuggets or, despite OKC having that top overall seed, going up against the Thunder team that did play in the play-in tournament a year ago, but not in the playoffs? Same conversation, Vecchio, in the Eastern Conference. The Celtics are the number one seed. They clinched the NBA's best record 2 weeks ago, and they're already nearly a $2 favorite to win the Eastern Conference crown. So what do you make then of the playoff bracket in the Eastern Conference and maybe some value on the other side away from Boston?
Yeah, it's much of the same. You got to find a team that you like, and it honestly might be going to the Knicks at 12-1 to win the East. If they can get past that first round, get past that second round, obviously they won't play the Celtics until that conference finals. You know, when I'm looking at the teams overall, I don't have a ton of trust in the Pacers just because the lack of defense that we see from them. The Magic, again, great season for them. They took a big step forward, but just the lack of experience is something an issue with when it comes to the playoffs. And you know, frankly, that first round matchup for the Celtics, maybe they end up playing the 76ers or the Heat if, you know, one of them lose and win, obviously, that second play-in. A lot of things going on. That's not going to be an easy matchup for them. So a long series for the Celtics, maybe the Knicks cruise past one round, maybe two rounds. I will take the Knicks at 12-1.
East Coast, West Coast matchups. There's certainly somebody's got to come out of the East. Somebody's got to come out of the West. If we're looking at the NBA championship odds right now, the Boston Celtics at a plus 165 price, the Denver Nuggets at a 3-1 price, followed by the Clippers, that sort of shelf here in that fall off at 14-1. And then we see the Bucks at a 12-1 price. Is it, again, easy just to say Nuggets versus Celtics? And also, Tom, somebody in the East and somebody in the West. Give me some upset thoughts here. Who can knock the Nuggets out and who can knock the Celtics out in the East?
Yeah, this is certainly a tough market. And, you know, if you were just banking on the chalk and that's what you expect, I wouldn't go to either of the direct. I wouldn't go to either the Boston odds or the Denver odds. I would go to direct outcome, which would be Boston to beat Denver at +520. Like, yeah. If you just think the chalk is going to hit, that's what it's going to be. You either choose Boston to beat Denver, Denver to beat Boston, whatever it might be. But it's going to be rolling with the Suns, rolling with the Knicks, two of these large shots, especially the Knicks, man. When they play kind of their style, the Tom Thibodeau style, heavy minutes for their starter, super slow, super defensive, that's going to kind of hinder the Celtics and what they want to do. And the Celtics want to take 43s a game. If they run on the bad side of variance on that, it's going to be a very tough matchup for them.
Thank you. I appreciate your love for the New York Knicks, who Donnie and I both feel as though if they were to get that 2-7 matchup based on the odds against Philadelphia, the 76ers would be in a prime spot to maybe get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Vecchio says not so fast. Now we go to Major League Baseball, Vecchio, with a big slate on this Monday. We start in Toronto between the Blue Jays and the Yankees. New York, not the sweep in Cleveland as the Guardians win in extras in the finale last night against the Bombers. But New York off to a really good start. Best record in the bigs to begin this year. 12-4. Very slight underdog on the road against the Jays. -110. Toronto, the very slight home favorite. Total at 9. What's the approach up in the 6?
Yeah, this is obviously certainly a great matchup. And I think I'm going to keep it super simple. And that's going to Juan Soto for 2+ total bases for the Yankees. Going up against Chris Bassitt. Not really a strong pitcher last year versus lefties. Allowed a .504 slugging, 2.03 home runs per 9, and a 46% fly ball rate. So just give me Soto versus righties last year. 273 ISO, super low, 16% strikeout rate. Does not waste any chance at the plate in a 166 WRC+. I don't think, you know, the Yankees are, like, massive in a spot to win this game massively outright, but just give me Soto. Keep it super simple at 2+.
Small ballpark, maybe some shots going up there in Toronto. Let's also take a look at here. Atlanta versus Houston, maybe a preview here of a possible World Series if Houston can get it together and Atlanta can get some competent pitching. But we take a look at the total in this game. No surprise, it's at 10. It's a small ballpark. Vines versus Arrieta. You're not even getting A-level pitching matchups going back and forth between these two. Slight favorite here, depending on where you're shopping at, it's roughly a pick 'em, Tom. Atlanta and Houston tonight, what can we look forward to?
I think we can look for some runs tonight. I have very little read on these two pitchers, Darius Vines and Spencer Arrieta. They have a combined like 30-35 total MLB innings pitched over this year and last year combined. Arrieta has 3 innings pitched just last week. So if I'm not expecting any consistency when it comes to pitching, that should mean they're both righties, by the way. So I'm going to go into lefties on each side. Kyle Tucker, my guy Matt Olson, 2+ total bases. They're +105, +110, whatever it might be. Offense tonight, not a whole lot of pitching from both sides.
Atlanta has the highest over percentage in Major League Baseball. 10 games over, only 3 unders and one push. 77% of the games for the Braves hitting the over at this moment. For Houston, a lot of unders to start, but the Astros have gone over in 5 straight and 6 of their last 7. Big news for the Braves, Tom, over the weekend. It was confirmed what was feared in Atlanta. Spencer Strider out for the remainder of 2024 with that UCL injury to his right pitching elbow. The Braves still the second best price to win the World Series at 5-1, just $1.50 behind the Dodgers. +350 over 2 weeks into this Major League Baseball season. Are you starting to see any value pop up in those World Series prices?
That's going to the Baltimore Orioles, and they're off to a good start. I also think they are on the path to getting better because both Kyle Bradish and John Means will be back at some point. 2 very solid pitchers. Them don't know have, you know, we don't have exact timetables on when they'll be returning, but their pitching is good. Obviously, the addition of Burns in the offseason was awesome. So you add in Bradish and Means, once the second half of the season gets rolling, they build up and they're ready for the postseason. I expect them to compete for the division title, and if not that, they'll absolutely be in the wild card spot. So give me the Orioles right now.
Speaking of wild card watch, boy, the NHL coming down the stretch, similar to what we saw, Tom, in the NBA. The Bruins and the Capitals, the Canadiens and the Red Wings, and the Predators and the Penguins light it up tonight. What do you like on the ice tonight? Which is the right way to go?
So starting off, the Predators and the Penguins under 6.5 is sitting at -130. This is a literal must-win for the Penguins, a literal must-win. They have to win this game or they are eliminated. Also for the Predators, while their spot is locked up and they're holding down the number one wild card in the West, this is their last game of the season. Vegas has 2 in hand. So if the Predators were to lose this game and Vegas wins out their last two, that means the Preds would be playing Dallas in the first round as opposed to the Canucks. And I've talked about Dallas before. They are awesome. They're one of the best teams to win the Stanley Cup. So the Preds also have motivation to play and win. So they don't want to fall into that spot. So a lot of unders tonight. And then for Boston and Washington, huge game for Washington as well. Boston, they still need to secure home ice, that top seed over the Panthers. So Alexander Ovechkin, over 3.5 shots, it's sitting at minus 102. Surprisingly, since the start of April, the Bruins, they're allowing 71.4 total shot attempts against. That's actually the worst in the league per 60 minutes in 5v5 situations since the beginning of April. So the Bruins are kind of slacking on defense right now. Ovechkin and the Capitals need to win. Fire some shots tonight.
The Caps, a home ice underdog. Washington at this current moment holds on to the second and final wild card spot, but hot on their heels, as Vecchio said. The Penguins, the Red Wings, over a $2 favorite tonight in the Motor City. It's getting good in these final 4 days of the NHL regular season. Let's show Tom's top props for the prop perspective on this Monday. The jack of all trades for a reason. Even an early play-in tournament for Draymond Green and the Golden State Warriors for the nightcap tomorrow night. Vecchio, as always, we appreciate the time. We go around the Daily Diamond Dash ourselves in MLB up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Before we dive into today's Major League Baseball slate, some contract news to report around sports. First, in the National Football League, the Eagles extend another bright and young, promising star. Devontae Smith and the Eagles agree to a 3-year, $75 million contract extension that includes $51 million guaranteed. That's $25 million per year. The wide receiver market for this new generation is starting to get set, as President Bird's backer. How excited are you that the Eagles retain Devontae Smith for the next few years?
Good move, and as expected. Let's take a look at two different attacks here, because we talked about T. Higgins getting that contract, or should I say, not contract, just a one-year deal, which is the franchise tag. And I said, you know, from my earlier stance, there's no way he's playing under this tag. Like, he's in the same exact predicament. And we didn't know this Devontae news was coming down, which is kind of hilarious that it came down literally an hour after we talked about it, was that T. Higgins is like, I love Cincinnati. Look at that, man. My guy just got $51 million splashed into his bank account in roughly a four-year contract versus $90 million if we add that fifth-year option on his rookie deal. Like, T. Higgins is not going to play in Cincinnati unless he gets that big money number. But also, here's why the Philadelphia Eagles are smart in this spot, Ben, and you bring it up. Aramirov just puts out a tweet, and rightfully so. Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Jamar Chase, Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, and Amon-Ra St. Brown all waiting for their contracts. Do you know what happens here when Devontae Smith signs that? That now turns into the baseline for the other guys. So by the time they're all scheduled, now granted, I don't know if Devontae Smith was ever going to make more than, let's just say, CeeDee Lamb as the number one in Dallas, but you get the picture here. This is going to be the low point of the contracts as they filter in as that benchmark for what other players believe they can get and more here. It's just a smart move by the Eagles to tie it up. How do you win in the NFL? Surround your young, talented quarterback with as many weapons as you possibly can. The Eagles have done that, and other teams should follow suit as well. It's a good deal for the Philadelphia Eagles now. Have A.J. Brown and Devontae for a couple more years as that 1-2 tandem. That's good news for Eagles fans.
DRS, you remember a couple of years ago when the Chiefs gave Patrick Mahomes a 10-year extension worth $450 million or whatever the contract figure was? And everybody's like, oh, my God. $1 million for Patrick Mahomes? We understand he's won a Super Bowl and an MVP, but that's crazy. When you actually broke down the deal and went cap hit year by year, annual average salary year by year, the Chiefs and Brett Veach had great foresight to get that deal done, because Mahomes last year didn't even have one of the biggest five annual average salary deals for a quarterback around the National Football League. That's really what you're doing here for Devontae Smith. You're locking him up now in terms of that contract extension with what is a big number, but might not be even one of the top 10 or top 15 highest contracts by the time all of these talented young wideouts do get their deal. Now to the NBA, end of the regular season. The Phoenix Suns getting ready for their opening round playoff series in Minneapolis that starts this weekend. And not the big three, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, or Kevin Durant, but Grayson Allen, a wonderful wonderful career year for Phoenix. They need depth. They need somebody outside of the big three. And Grayson Allen was that. Shot 46% from three this year. He agrees to a four-year, $70 million deal with the Suns.
And we talk about the salary cap situations in the NFL where you can massage it. And again, the joke would be that the Philadelphia Eagles just signed a contract that in effect is, let's just say, 51 guaranteed, 70 million plus, that their cap number this year is going to go lower. Don't worry about it here. It's just unbelievably crazy analytics that go into that. Same thing with the NBA. I thought Matt Ishbia is now going to have to pay over $100 million in luxury tax. But for a guy that money doesn't really matter and you want to win basketball games, this is great. If you're a Phoenix Suns fan, this is what you want. When I look at the restrict and cut, the minute that he signed on as the new owner of that team and bought the Phoenix Suns outright here, he went out and immediately got Kevin Durant. It's like, well, wow, you're going to get Kevin Durant. You're going to have a big three. You're not going to have anybody else on that team. Nonsense here. He doesn't care about the salary cap. He doesn't care about the luxury tax level. He's blasting right through it. So for a team heading into the playoffs now, we know they have the big three. Grayson Allen has been very good for that team as a fourth scoring option. And routinely, when the big three wasn't all together, he was the guy filling in as at the facto big three, dropping 20 plus points on a night-to-night basis there. Like that move for Phoenix, but I love this. When you have an owner that buys a team, not because he wants to make money on the team, but he has enough money, we can say, this is my hobby. I love basketball. I just want to bring a winner in. Phoenix is lucky to have a guy like that.
Yeah, absolutely so. And Grayson Allen will be a huge component of this playoff run for the Suns outside of the big three. We saw a lack of depth last year. Kevin Durant and Devin Booker had to do all of the heavy lifting. Now they have Bradley Beal, but guys like Grayson Allen could make the difference from an opening playoff series win over the Timberwolves to a deep run into the Western Conference postseason. Now to Major League Baseball, a potential World Series preview already in the middle of April. We go to Houston, where the Astros won the series this weekend against the Rangers. That was big for the Stros. The Braves win yesterday against Miami in South Florida, despite being down to their final strike. Marcell Ozuna hits a three-run shot to win the game for Atlanta. It's a pick'em. Minus 108 for the Stros, minus 108 for the Braves. As you and Vecchio mentioned, we don't know a bunch about either of these two pitchers. So when you pick them with a total of 10, what gives tonight in H-Town?
Exactly. You're going to take runs in this game, right? That's immediately what you look at here. But also, like, I'm going to preach this all the way through the season. I hope the Atlanta Braves don't make any moves for any dominant pitchers. But if you're going to give on a night-to-night basis a coin flip on the mound of pitchers that aren't absolutely dominant, which the Braves won't have, who's not just going to take the Braves on a night-to-night basis? They can get down 6-1 in this game in the third inning. I'm like, you know what? Let's fire away on the Braves because we know they're good for multiple runs in multiple innings down the backstretch of that game. So it's simple for me. There's no real handicap because we don't have a big backlog on either one of these pitchers. But let me just take a look at that Atlanta Braves lineup as it matches up against right-handed pitching. And quite frankly, Arrigetti this year only faced 19 batters. Yeah, he's got a weighted on-base percentage of .477 combined for those 19 batters, which you're lining up Atlanta. Acuna, we're going by weighted on-base percentages here. .386, .402 for Albies, Riley .391, Olsen .429, Ozuna .518, Harris .501. Arcia, yeah. .394, and Jared Kelenic threw 31 at-bats against right-handed pitching this year. How about a .448 weighted on-base percentage? Just give me Atlanta and give me the over here. That's what you should do here early in the season with the Braves.
The Braves have the highest over percentage in all of MLB. 77% of their games have hit the over. Houston over in five straight and six of its last seven after opening up with a ton of unders to begin. Full 15 game slate, by the way, in Major League Baseball today. And one of the best teams so far to begin this season in the National League, that's the Milwaukee Brewers, off to a 10-4 start. But an underdog today at home in Wisconsin against the San Diego Padres, who took 2 of 3 against the Dodgers this weekend. Joe Musgrove on the bump for the Padres, minus 118, total 8.5 in Milwaukee.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to lean towards the Milwaukee in this game. And forget about even taking a look at the pitching matchup side by side. It's one of those events where you saw last night the San Diego Padres, Ben. Where were they yesterday? In L.A. in a rain delay on Sunday Night Baseball. Now they're going to have to fly to Milwaukee on the road and play them today at 7:40 p.m. Eastern. Now, granted, you don't have to worry about any weather conditions because it'll be in a dome. But if we're lining up the pitching matchups, take a look at Joe Ross for the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. 44 plate appearances, or 44 batters, I should say, he's faced this year. ISO power number 026. weighted on base percentage of 244. If we flip it over to Milwaukee's lineup, this is a team that, again, on a year-to-year basis, it's like, okay, Yelich and who else is going to be on this team? Now, I'm looking at the anticipated starting lineup tonight. It doesn't actually have Yelich included in there. Joe Musgrove, starting pitcher, anticipated for the Padres, a 367 weighted on base percentage against him to left-handed batters, which is not very good. And look at this lineup going up against right-handed pitching this season so far. Dunn, 355. Reyes, 498. Frelick, 366. Adames, 410. Hoskins, 392. Terang, 433. Go. Give me those Milwaukee Brewers tonight taking on San Diego.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good look right there. Home money line underdog at plus 100. The Arizona Diamondbacks, the reigning National League pennant winners, off to an even 500 start this year. The D-backs, after taking the final two games of the set this weekend at home in Phoenix against St. Louis, now 8-8. Six innings of shutout work from Zach Gallen yesterday against St. Louis as the Diamondbacks won 5-0. Now a second consecutive series for Arizona against an NL Central foe. Tonight in Phoenix, it's the 1-2 punch. Gallen yesterday, Merrill Kelly the start today, and Arizona nearly a $1.50 favorite at home against the Cubbies.
Yeah, they should be. That might about a minus 150 favorite. That total listed at 9. The focus here, Ben Brown's going to start on the mound here in this game. And as a Chicago Cubs pitcher, right-handed, he's been okay at best here. 43 batters that he's faced this year. ISO power number 184, right around average to both sides, lefty and righties. 355, slightly elevated weighted on base percentage if you combine lefties and the righties. But if we're trying to break this down to which side of the, let's just say, table you want to sit on, RBI props here make some sense. Yeah. Ben Brown, only 25 batters he's faced from the right-hand side, Ben. 261 ISO, 335 weighted on base percentage. Right smack dab in the middle of that Arizona lineup, two guys that are hammering right-handed pitchers, Lourdes Gurriel and Christian Walker. 250 ISO, 280 ISO, respectively here, back-to-back. And how about the weighted on base percentages? 404 and 393. Give me an RBI prop between Gurriel and Walker in this game. That's what makes the most sense for me here.
I think it's a very good look there as well. Total at 9, the under, a slight bit of juice. Next up, as we keep going around Major League Baseball, again, the O's avoided the sweep yesterday at home against the Milwaukee Brewers. Jackson Holliday got his first hit in his Major League Baseball career. Baltimore back at home tonight, minus 134 home line favorite against the Minnesota Twins. The over-under is 9. Now, the Twins entered the year as the favorites to win the American League Central. Minnesota, two games below 500 at 6-8. It's the Guardians and the Royals, both with double-digit wins, followed by the Tigers atop the Central at the moment, very early on. But Minnesota trying to keep pace.
Yeah, and by the way, you should be hammer time tonight with the Baltimore Orioles. 77 degrees as we take a look at first pitch tonight. Wind blowing out the right field about 7 miles an hour. So Camden Yards certainly is a hitter's ballpark. But let's just take a look at that Baltimore Orioles lineup as constructed of what we anticipate tonight. Louis Varland's a right-handed pitcher on the mound. Take a look at this. 45 batters. Again, not a great sample size. But if you go back to last year, who we faced 288 batters, he had a 237 ISO and a 341 weighted on base percentage. Not good. Put that over to this year, 282 ISO, really bad. Weighted on base percentage, 447, really bad. Look at this lineup coming into tonight, and let's just take a look at the ISO power number, which labels the metrics on how these guys are doing at the plate and hitting for power. Gunnar Henderson, a 343. Keep in mind, Ben, 170 is the major league average. He's 343. Santander, 195. O'Hearn, 226. Mountcastle, 160, 194. How about this? Colton Cowser, we've talked about a lot on this program, 600.
Yeah.
600 ISO power number against right-handed pitching here. So this lineup is locked and loaded tonight. If you're looking for RBI props, looking for team totals, Baltimore is the place to be tonight, Ben.
Yeah, it's a very good look as well. 9 games inside Camden this year for the O's. 6 of the 9 have hit the over. We go quickly to Detroit. Tigers minus 180. Is that home money line favorite against the Rangers, who did lose the season series in Houston. 8.5 the total. Any breakdown here in this American League action?
I'm probably looking towards the under 8.5. Michael Lorenz last year was with the Philadelphia Phillies, coming over as a free agent here. Doesn't have any statistics yet on this young season. But quite frankly, the Detroit Tigers lineup against right-handed pitchers hasn't been very good. Only 4 guys with an ISO power number above average. A lot of those guys, zeros, .40, .20, not looking very good. I'll take the under in this game as a quick snapshot.
Total 8.5. And by the way, baseball starts in 20 minutes. It's the day of the Boston Marathon in Beantown. The Red Sox host the Guardians in Fenway. Boston, a minus 154 favorite. Again, 11:11 a.m. Eastern time. First bet. And a best bet coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
About our 3 hours together live right here on this Monday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. And before we go, it's time now for a best bet. So before we say farewell and before we say goodbye, it is time for Bye Bye Bye. I already know where Donnie Wrightside is going on this Monday. Full slate in the bigs in Major League Baseball. But who gets your attention first and foremost?
Wind blowing out to right field today. High 70s temperatures expected in Baltimore. Louis Varland's on the mound. We just went over. He's a right-handed pitch. But how about this? This season, the left-handed batters only faced 25, an ISO of 348, and a weighted on-base percentage of 467. So we go right to Baltimore's lineup and say, give me a left-handed batter in the middle of that lineup. Now, there's multiple ones that you could take a look at here. So for myself, it's Ryan O'Hearn, left-handed batter, 36 plate appearances against right-handed pitching this year, a 226 ISO, and a weighted on-base percentage of 393. So for me, Santander, Rutschman, and Gunnar Henderson should all be on base. But I got to tell you right now, I wouldn't be opposed, people out there, if you just maybe tripled up on this game and went ahead and said to yourself, you know what? Kowser, left-handed bat, 600 ISO power number with a weighted on-base percentage of 674. Maybe he can be used there as well. Or even Cedric Mullins at a 219 ISO power number and a weighted on-base percentage of 391. Or even Gunnar Henderson, he's a lefty at 3 as an ISO power number and a weighted on-base percentage of 349. If you're looking for some of those snippets there, Ryan O'Hearn is a plus 140. And also, BSS. Ben's best bet today is, I believe I heard, Aaliyah Edwards. And what was that? Get in my ear again. What is it? What else? Sixth pick, minus 115. See that? I mean, Ben's so confident in this best bet. He didn't even want to be here to say it because he was embarrassed at how easy that is going to hit tonight. But Ryan O'Hearn for me at a plus 140 price makes a ton of sense to record an RBI tonight for the Baltimore Orioles. Santander plus 125. Gunnar Henderson plus 140. Thanks for tuning in today's edition of the Early Line. We will be back bright and early tomorrow for another edition of the Early Line. See you later.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.